Hello, Peaceful Prophets Nation. Chanel here with an exciting client spotlight episode for you today. So today we are talking to our client, Callum Armstrong. Callum, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, Callum owns Paste and Publish, which is a content marketing coaching firm based in Aotearoa, New Zealand. They help B2B services to turn their blogs and content into 24/7 sales reps that generate an evergreen source of website visitors, email subscribers, and sales leads. So I'm excited to dive in. And part of, as I did my research and homework on your business and on what you do, one of the things that really stood out to me is how many iterations of your offer that you've had. Now, when we have people come in, that's generally the first place that we start. We work on offers with them and we go through offers. And sometimes people get frustrated if they have to rework their offer. But Callum, you said this. You said, we went through 9 iterations of our offer over the last 3 months of the Foundations program after about 5 to 10 iterations before joining Peaceful Prophets. So that's a lot of variations of going through your offer. And the first thing I want to say to that is I just want to commend you for that, because that's hard to do. Every time you put your offer out there, it's like a little piece of you, and it's painful to do those iterations. And so I think a lot of times people stay with the offer they have so they don't have to go through that pain. Now, what was the process like for you of going through that many iterations?
So I think before looking at the process, once I joined Peaceful Prophets, I need to zoom out to the context of it. I've built various businesses over the years, and one thing I've noticed in myself, but also in lots of other entrepreneurs, is that we love action, we love results, we love getting stuff done. And it's really easy to half think an idea through. Someone might come in you and say, that's a great idea, which people love to say, and then just jumping straight into it. And so, you know, before I joined, like I said, I did about 5 to 10 iterations of the offer myself and went all over the place. And when I came in, it was just so great to have a sounding board, because your family and friends, they want to be nice to you, and they're not necessarily an expert in what you do or in creating offers. And so it's really easy to get into an echo chamber. So a lot of the initial offer revisions were not necessarily going out and talking to customers, but thinking, I've got something great. And then, oh, but what if I add this in it, you know, ballooning out. So once I joined Peaceful Prophets, the Foundations program, the process looked a bit like this. So I was welcomed aboard, introduced to my coach. I started watching the online materials, a series of videos and trainings and templates and various helpful resources. Using that, we're encouraged to look at the 5 things that every great offer needs, and then making our first offer, and then we bring it to the live coaching calls. We get feedback from various team members at Peaceful Prophets, and then we go ahead and make a new offer. Later in the process, we also started having peer review, where we would review each other's offers with other students of the program, which I found super, super helpful. And then the last real cherry on the cake of doing it is that our coach, mine is Zaida in this case, I could just bounce all these ideas off her and say, what about this? What about that? So, of course, going from one offer to the next iteration of it is quite a large leap. It might only be 4 hours of sitting at a screen typing stuff up, but it's all the thinking and all the questions and also all the self, I don't want to say self-doubt, but self, is this actually what I want to deliver behind the scenes? And being able to just ask whenever a thought came up, put it into a chat with Zaida, my coach, and just say, what about this? And to get an honest, open, transparent answer that's, you know, sincere back, is I can't understate the value of that. So that's kind of how the offer process worked. One thing I found really helpful, which I kind of copied from another guy in the group, was I went through every single other person in the group's offer and I gave them feedback and reviewed it. I found after about looking at 20 plus offers, I found so many holes in my own one, which was some of the other iterations. So yeah, I guess if I look at how it changed from the perspective of what my offer looked like, as a practitioner, I kept, you know, of content marketing and marketing in general, I kept wanting to speak in terms of how we'll do it, that the how, not the what, and not the why, and the jargon. You know, to me, I said, I remember Margie, one of the coaches, said to me, I said to her, oh, well, we'll increase your organic traffic to your website. She said, well, what is organic traffic? Do you actually expect that your customers know what that means? And some of them will definitely, but if I start talking in jargon, I isolate so much of the audience. So I think bridging the knowledge gap between me and all the potential people in the audience was a big thing.
Yeah.
And just that you want to talk in the lingo that you talk in. Before this, I ran a marketing agency and I talked to marketing managers with teams of marketers, and you could talk about all the jargon and we'd be speaking the same language, but it was definitely kind of flipping it on the head. It was quite a shift in terms of moving to the coaching model. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's such a good point and something that we really have to be aware of because we almost don't realize sometimes that we are speaking in a certain lingo that not everyone is going to understand. And so being really aware of where our customers are at so we can meet them where we're at. I want to circle back to one thing you said, which I think is so powerful. So I love this. You went through like 20 other people's offers and gave them feedback. Okay, that's amazing. That speaks to, first of all, you wanting to provide value just as a human being. I think that's really powerful to do that for someone else. But then also, tell me what you personally gained. Like, what did that do for you looking at that many offers? You hinted that it helped your offer, but I want to get into specifics of how.
Oh, that's a good question. Because there's just so many insights, and I'm thinking back to the specific things I noticed at the time. I think a big part of it was making sure that our words are backed by substance and not, I don't want to say not fluff, but when we create an offer as the business owner, the entrepreneur, we have so much passion about it. And so we should. If we're not passionate about it, why should anyone buy from us apart from, the numbers and details? But when I saw a lot of offers, there were some where they'd thought a lot about the foundations of what's the outcome that we're promising? What is the problem the customer's facing? Is it that they're redirecting budget from something else? Is there what I guess what's the no-brainer? There was one person that was building an offer about helping people to raise investment funds, and it was kind of like, look, you can pay 5 to 10, you can pay 10K a month for someone to do it for you, and you don't get this, 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 and this, or you can pay us 15K and we'll just do the whole entire thing for you, and you'll be ready to raise a few more million dollars. And I thought, well, you don't need any kind of fluff or fancy language on that, because it's just so it's a no-brainer. If
Yeah.
I was raising money and the market that they're in, I'd say, yeah, why would I try any other option? But I also noticed people that were on the first version of their offer, that maybe it was the first offer they created, probably a lot better than my first offer, to be fair. Sometimes you can tell that the passion came through with a lot of words saying, this is my offer, and a lot of, I don't want to say complexity, but do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
really sad, but not talking about the underlying why is this a complete no-brainer in less words. And I think that really helped me to come back to, well, why are people buying it? Do they want a blog? Do they want a visitor? Do they want a lead? Or do they actually just want their perfect customer to come to them in their sleep? And yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so good. I think you bring up an amazing point, which is so often we think that it's all about the hype and the way we're talking about it. And I do see this in offers a lot. Like, it's amazing. It's, we use all these adjectives and all this try like fancy language when ultimately, an offer comes down to, does it solve the problem in a way that, like you said, it's a no-brainer? Well, if you invest this small amount of money, you're going to end up with this huge amount of money. Okay. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I want to do that. Easy, right? And so creating an offer that has that same feel of like, oh, yeah, that's just something I want, doesn't need a bunch of hypey language in order to sell it. And that's why we spend so much time, and that's why it's so valuable to go through so many iterations of your offer.
And I think also, like, if you're in a one-to-one context, you're talking to someone in a meeting, there's always a little bit of, or at least I've found there's a bit of politeness where you might talk about that hypey language. But at the end of the day, they're thinking, what's in it for me? And you're thinking, how can I
Yeah.
get the sale, right? Or are you the right fit for the sale in the first place? And in that in-person context, you can get the body language, you can get the feedback, but online, like, where's the feedback? There's no feedback loop if people don't actually engage with your offer. So I think it's so much more important than any offline context. If you're building this coaching offer and you're talking to someone on the phone or you're posting it on social media, you really want to dial it in, for the sake of your time and your audiences.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so good. Now, with all of this process that you've gone through and all of these different variations of your offer, how is your offer com more compelling now than it used to be? What are some of the big shifts you've made in your offer?
Okay, so this is quite entertaining. The offer started off with, I know how to do digital marketing. I'm going to teach you everything I know. And then this was before I was part of Peaceful Profits, which refined down to, well, you need a good plan in place before you actually execute it. So we'll teach you how to make a plan. And then when I joined on board, I thought, well, it's actually not the planning that people want, it's the execution. So we'll teach you how to write blogs. And then that evolved into, well, it's not necessarily the blogging you want, it's building your audience and getting people to your website. So then we focused on that. And then it was, well, that's not actually, again, that's not what you want. It's you want leads. So let's do a lead magnet to get you email subscribers. And then that refined further down into, well, actually, you just want the source of customers, but you don't want all that complexity. So how can we cut all the fluff down to what's the most direct route to getting you to this outcome? And once you've got that outcome of predictable leads, you can obviously tack on other parts of your marketing and build your team around it. So if I look at about a week or two before I joined the program, I'd launched my first offer, which was the strategy one. And because we were saying, let's launch a winning strategy, it was quite a large amount of content. And to make sure that people understood it properly, I was offering like two live sessions a week and a lot of other. Like it was a very heavy offer to fulfill on the back end, to be to put it simply. So comparing that to our new offer, Evergreen Leads, turn your website into, yeah, 24 source of customer getting machine. It's got less content and videos to watch. So straight into do this, do this, do this. There's less templates that need to be used. Templates are helpful, but if you've got more templates, it's more work. Less work for customers. More directly focused on taking action and getting results, more enduring results through content created and promotions actioned. And the interesting insight is that when I was offering two live sessions per week, I thought this is great. They're getting so much value from me. But it was actually a bit too much to take in. And so being able to just do one or four live sessions a month, one per week, actually makes it more valuable for the customers and less work for me and quicker to the outcome. So everyone wins.
Yeah, that's such a powerful shift because often we think as business owners, right, that like, well, if I give more, it's more value. And what I've just heard you say is the opposite of that. Like, your value is getting someone from point A to point B. That's the value. It's not if it takes an extra long time to get there. That's not where the value comes in, right? And then it becomes, a more peaceful business for you. So is there anything else that you would say? You mentioned you've made less, like you have less coaching, less templates. How else has your business become more peaceful in this transition?
Well, firstly, to be honest, learning from Mike and how simple he makes these complex things, and then that being reflected throughout your team, it's been quite a good reminder because, when you're running a business and you've got a life and you've got other things going on, you get really busy, and it's easy to forget something that was said a while back. And I don't know about you, but I certainly like to pile on complexity in my mind. And so just saying, well, why are you doing this? What's going on? Just simplify, simplify, simplify. That's made it a lot more peaceful. And also, I think this is part of a wider shift where I used to have an agency and I was managing, headcount of people, and it was all on service delivery. And it wasn't really my place in the world. And I decided I want to be a coach, a few years back. And it's been sort of a gradual shift, but that shift of identity has been you kind of stabbing in the dark with, is this me? Am I doing this right? Am I an imposter? I know my stuff. I know how to do it. I know how to teach people. But showing up and saying I am the coach, even though I'm doing a great job and I've got good results in coaching, was quite scary. So I think almost just being in a community where people are doing this and it's not hyped up to be some complex ego-driven thing, but it's actually just, here's the simple things you have to do, now get good at them. I'd say that's the biggest thing, is making it peaceful. Yeah, I'm not being paid to say this, but you guys are amazing, really. Like, it's
Well,
changed my
we
perspective on
appreciate
things.
it anyway. Yes. Okay, that's so good. And that's something I really haven't thought of in that way before, but it really is true that part of what takes away, it's very common to feel that imposter syndrome, right? We're like, I know it was for me. When I decided I was a coach, before I ever got certified as a coach, I named myself a coach, right? I'm a coach now, and I started coaching. Later, I got certified. But there was that little moment, right, where I'm like, I'm a coach. Is anyone gonna believe this? Like, is anyone, there's just those feelings that come up. And there is something very powerful about now being in a room, a virtual room, right? In the Peaceful Profits room community, where you are surrounded by other business owners and like, hey, we're all doing this. I am in a space where I am recognized by my peers as a fellow business owner, as a fellow coach. And that just helps to increase that identity piece. And that's really important. I feel like that helps with everything that you do after, because you have that poise of, okay, this is who I am. This is who I hang out with. I'm in the Peaceful Profits Club now, right?
Yep. But also, I think if one thing I've noticed, and I've done bits of education and training and coaching and workshops before this, and one thing I've noticed is in almost every engagement, I might put on this really confident face, but I go into it thinking, and do they really want to hear from me? Do I actually have any value to add? Like, I know my stuff, but you think, well, what if they know more? What if they know something I don't know? And every single time I've showed up, people just want to get to the outcome. They just want some help. They just want to get results. And they're just sincerely looking to get better. And it doesn't matter if you've coached for 2 years or 20 years, like, or if you're just a friend helping them out. It's always appreciated. And for, and I think it's a big part of it is just, I might see people get results from teaching them and get fulfillment out of it. But then, the next day you show up and think, am I really a coach? So I think it is a gradual process. But yeah, any coaches watching this that are on the earlier stages of their journey just know it's you're not alone in that respect. So
Definitely, definitely. And it does keep coming up. At every new level you grow to, it comes up again, and it's something you continue to work through. So, yes,
yeah, no,
I
definitely.
appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners do too.
I was just gonna, a few minutes ago, you mentioned how we like to deliver way too much content and teach people everything we know. And it just reminded me of something that Margie, one of our coaches, said, that we all want to back the truck up and tilt the truck and just dump all of the stuff in the back of the truck onto people, but really they just want one thing out of that truck. So I don't know if you want to keep that or cut it out, but I just thought that was
No, I
quite a
love
good
it.
thought.
I love that visual. I think that's so powerful. And Margie's so wise. She's the best. But
Oh, for sure. Courage.
that is helpful to think of too. And it's just such a good, powerful reminder. So as you're creating content, like, wait, am I dumping the whole truck or am I just giving a little piece that people want? Now, I wanted to, one of the things that you had said about your offer, I want to read this. You said, refining the outcome has allowed us to cut back the volume of training materials in the course, making it easier for clients to consume and action. And we talked about this idea of simplifying. We talked about, how it has improved your outcome for your client. But I want to talk about this idea of the fear here, because there is often a fear that if I give less, if I don't dump the whole truck on them, right? If I don't do that whole thing, I won't be valuable enough as a coach, or I won't be giving them everything that they need. So why was that not the case for you? How were you able to just pick what they needed from the truck rather than dump the whole truck?
I think it was the case for me, actually. I think I
Okay.
was really fearful of not doing it. When you previously I was billing my services by the hour and saying, let's get to this outcome. It might be a monthly retainer with allowance. nuances. And so you look at it and going from that to here's the outcome, here's the training and modules you need, here's the live sessions, and you can message me anytime, or whatever your structure of your offer is a huge shift. Like it's not just a little change, it's a complete change in how you run your business. And yeah, I think thinking like you can think, well, the outcome is worth this much to you, and we're only charging this fraction of it. But then on the other hand, there's also that fear, well, what is a live session and some videos really worth? And so yeah, I guess that was the case with me. And again, like being in the Peaceful Profits community and being reminded 10, 20 times, like you don't have to give all this stuff, just give enough for them to get to their outcome. And you can make another offer for them to get to the next outcome. If you try and offer four outcomes in one offer, you're gonna overwhelm yourself and you're probably gonna annoy your customer and confuse them. So just chill out and you've got time, and remember, like, if you do that, then they can get started with you and trust you and get results with you, and then they can move to the next outcome. So I don't know if that answers your question at all, but I was
Yeah,
really
it does.
given
Well,
that.
what I'm hearing here is it was scary. And I think that's a powerful thing to hear too, because it was scary to do it, but you did it anyway. You trusted in the process. And I think the best teachers are people who know how to learn and implement, right? We learn, we implement, and then we're able to teach. And I think that's really powerful. Like, take in everything and apply it, and then we're able to go forward and be ready to teach what we've learned. So I think that's really great.
And
Now,
I think, I was just going to say, I think when you buy coaching, and this is something I've only really understood recently, is that you're not buying people's successes, you're buying their mistakes. I had a student this morning that I was working with, and she said, oh, look, last year changed so much about what I do at work, and you've taught me so much. And I said, well, no, I just helped you to learn it faster, because if I wasn't here, you still would have learned it. It just would have taken longer and you would have just gone down more dead ends that you've avoided. And yeah, so I think that's really important to keep in mind too, is that when you're buying coaching, what are you actually buying? Are you buying information? Are you buying an outcome? Or are you buying the quickest course to the outcome by just avoiding all those mistakes? Because if you're persistent enough, you're going to get there. You're just going to have a lot of hassles along the way that you can pay to get rid of.
So good. I haven't heard it said that way before, but I love it. You're not buying their successes, you're buying their mistakes, and you're helping them avoid the mistakes that you've made. And that's so true and so powerful. And it's really, as business owners, it like take heart, guys, because if you have mistakes, that means that you are ready to do something great and help someone avoid those. Because often we think, I can only be really successful. I can only have this really great business if I have this amazing success. And often, if we look at it the other way, like, okay, I've made these mistakes and it's gotten me further along the path, and then help someone avoid those mistakes. That's so cool.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that actually, because the other day I was watching a video that Mike published on YouTube to help you plan and get success in 2024. It was really long Loom video, probably close to 2 hours at first. I thought, I'm not going to watch this, but I started watching and really glad I did. In there, one of the areas is reflecting on the last year and saying, well, what does success mean? What does it look like in the coming year? But then looking back at last year, where did I mess up last year? Like, what did I completely bomb at? And where did I excel last year? Where did I win? Where did I go well? And I think one of the big realizations I've found just in the last few days from this is that we as entrepreneurs, and maybe it's just me, but I'm sure other people are like this, tend to make a mistake or make a win and go, okay, well, that just happened. Let's just move on to the next thing. What's the next priority? And quite often, if we don't acknowledge and distill the takeaways from our wins and losses, we carry them into the next period, and then we amplify our things we're good at, and sometimes that can tip our balance, and we ignore our losses and keep, oh, sorry, our mistakes, and we keep making them. And so I think it's just really good just to acknowledge, well, thanks to me for making that mistake, because now I can learn it, and I'm sure I'm not going to make it again if I actually acknowledge it.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely, if you're thinking about your plans at the moment, that's an awesome video, by the way.
Yeah, be called best year ever. No, that's such a good learning from that. There's a quote that says something like mistakes are repeated until learned from, right? And that's that idea that like it's going to keep coming up in your life and or your business in this case until you take it in, until you learn from it, acknowledge it, process it, and then you're able to take the lesson and move on. So that's so good. Now, to finish off, I'd love to hear your advice. So, what advice would you give to others who are in that messy middle process of putting their offer down on paper, maybe getting feedback that it's not quite there and having to redo it and going through that whole process of offer creation?
That's a really good question. I think in answering that, I'd assume that if you're creating your offer, you're a small business. It might just be you or you and assistant or a few other people. You're not a big company with teams of staff and overhead payroll budgets to meet right at this stage. If that's the case, I'd say your offer is quite tied to who you are, your identity, what you do, and what you show up as. And I think it's really easy to get into the nitty-gritty of, oh, there's a customer problem, I'll make an offer, and I guess I'll show up every week for the next year to coach that. Sure, cool. You really want to make sure that what you create now, you're still going to be keen to do, or you've got the results to have a team in place in years to come. Otherwise, is it really worth putting the time in now? So I'd say zoom out again, and then zoom out again. Ask yourself, why am I doing this business? Like, why am I showing up to this, taking all this risk, having this on my mind after hours? Why am I doing these things instead of getting a job where I get an easy paycheck and I can go home? Why am I taking that risk and putting myself through that? Secondly, am I serving the right people or should my audience be different? We were quite lucky in that I put a lot of thought into who we were targeting before we came into the program. But I think it's a good question to ask is, am I just targeting anyone that will give me a dollar? Am I just targeting, say, let's imagine I was doing coaching for online sellers. Am I targeting just people that sell stuff on the internet? Is it 6 to 7 figure sellers based in the United States that are selling car parts at a premium rate? Okay, then I've got, it's probably a bit too niche, but it's much easier to say that audience I can help. But why are you choosing that audience? Like, why do you actually want to serve that audience? And are you still going to want to serve that audience in a year's time? If not, maybe you should reconsider who you're targeting. And is this actually the pain point? I think this is the biggest one, is this actually the pain point they want me to solve them with? What's the larger outcome they're looking for? And should I reach that larger outcome? Should I solve that larger outcome now? Or is there a tangible, smaller outcome that gets to that larger outcome that I can package up into an offer to get them started? It's just so easy to get stuck into the how. How do I do it? It's so tempting.
Yeah.
But getting the why right is so important. And that becomes by, sorry, that starts by asking the right questions. So yeah, I'd just say I think foundations is a really good way of putting the Peaceful Profits program because it literally is about getting the foundations right so that you're building your house on a solid rather than a shaky basis. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love those questions that you posed. And for listeners, if you didn't write those down, go back, re-listen, write those down, and take the time to answer those questions for yourself because those are really, really powerful. And when you get to the heart of those, your offer is going to be so much better, so much stronger. It's going to do what you want it to do. It's going to sell. All of those things. So that was really, really good advice. I would love for you to tell people where they can find you, where they can learn more about what you do and your business.
Cool, thank you. So pasteandpublish.com is our website, www.pasteandpublish.com. Or I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so feel free to find me on LinkedIn and connect. Our coaching program is focused on B2B services in particular, typically the smaller ones that have been doing a great job for clients and they love them, they're getting referrals and that's going well, but they don't have any real online way of succeeding and yeah, basically turning that website into a consistent source of customers. So yeah. But lastly, thanks again for having me here. I was just saying to you before the call that I've been watching so many of these podcasts with you and with your audience and guests and just learned so much and it's quite funny to be on the other side of it. So yeah, just really appreciate the opportunity to be here and yeah, hope people got something out of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they did. I know I did, and we appreciate you being here and sharing all the things that you've learned. And for listeners, Callum has mentioned today the Foundations program. If you are newer to business, if you're getting started, and like Callum mentioned, want to really build your business on a strong foundation, that's a great program to check out. You can do that at peacefulprofits.com/call. Get all the details there. Thank you again, Callum, for being here, and thanks everyone for listening. Bye.